Be better. That's the one thing I didn't track down. It's usually back there. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you so much.
I would. Too.
Yeah.
I'm walking down the cane.
Bless your heart. You're walking by faith, aren't you? Amen. If you would, take your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And I want to share for a few moments a word from the Word. And I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to read beginning at verse 10, spiritual warfare. That's just the subject the Lord has tonight. And we engage, all of us engage in spiritual warfare a lot. Everybody say a lot. All right then. Father, in Jesus' name, your word is blessed. Now bless us, bless me to sow this word exactly like you'd like to see it done. And Father, help these to receive your wonderful word that sets us free. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, looking at verse 10, the Bible says, finally, finally. He's getting to the end of this writing. Letter Paul is, and he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, you have to learn how to get into and tune into what God's doing. Just like the word says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, now my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches. Now, how rich is he? He owns it all. He totally, absolutely owns it all. And the scripture, the inspired scripture says, my God shall supply all of your needs. The Bible goes further than that. It says, if you will delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Now that goes beyond just supplying your needs. God would no more withhold daily bread or healing from you than you would for your children. He just wouldn't. But things happen. Things get confused. And remember, the word also says that God is not the author of confusion, but Satan is. Jesus said in the Gospel of John that Satan is a liar. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He inspired Cain to kill his brother Abel, which was the first murder in the Bible and recorded biblical history. But as I started right here in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, his might's inside of you. 1 John chapter 4 says this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater, not equal. The word could say they're much greater. You have to understand, your enemy is Satan. How many of you understand that? Now, let me ask you this. Does everybody understand here that Satan was created by God? What I mean is he's just part of creation. He's not divine. He's not all-powerful, but God is. And he's already been defeated by the finished work of Jesus Christ in his earth walk, when he came here for 33 and a half years, and he preached to people and healed people and fed people. And ultimately, he gave his life for people. And when he died in Ephesians 4, the word says that he descended down into the lower parts of the earth, and he did battle and confronted Satan. He made an open show of him, an open show that Jesus was victorious. And really, in a way of speaking, you could say that God has put Satan on a leash and you have the other end of it. He has no biblical way to outdo you, but he outdoes people by lying to them and deceiving them and beguiling them. So be strong in the Lord and the power of God's might. The Lord's might. There's a strength that you have that you can execute in your life when you have to confront evil. And evil is in so many ways. You know, some people are plagued with depression. Some people are plagued with what they would call bad luck. Some people are plagued with bad dreams. He can get into your dream life. God works through people that are good, and Satan works through people that are evil. He works through people. He'll get somebody involved with somebody else that should have never happened in the beginning, either a friendship or a relationship, a business relationship, one thing or another, and it becomes very hurtful. And the problem is it doesn't just become hurtful, it becomes confusing. What is of God? What isn't of God? You know, just like when we think about marriage, what I believe is this here. The Word says what God has joined together. And not necessarily if we choose wrong. How many of you understand you can choose wrong in a relationship and suffer for years and years and years? But you can seek and bathe yourself in the counsel of God. He won't lead you wrong. When you hook up with somebody as a friend, a relationship or whatever, and you're unequally yoked, they're not saved. You know, today I was at a restaurant and it came time to pay the bill and all that. I said, hey, are you a person of faith? And almost everybody in Arkansas says, well, sure I am. Well, this person said, well, not really, but I don't have anything against it. And I thought, well, I'm just going to push in then. I said, well, would it hurt if I prayed for you? She said, no. Go ahead and pray for me. And then I said, what is the number one thing that God could do for you today? And she says, well, I just want everybody to get along. I just want there to be world peace. So I just said, dear Jesus, I took that little girl by the hand, Pastor Kelly and I said, just help where everything goes right according to like this little girl said. Amen. Now, how many of you know the number one thing in your life tonight that you would like God to move? And if you believe in praying in the Lord's house, I want you to stand up if you've got, and I'm going to pray the number one prayer for the number one thing. And if you don't, that's fine. That's up to you. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, those that have stood up, they know what they want. They know what they believe. Right now, they are thinking about that number one need that they have. And Lord God, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there is Jesus Christ, his spirit and his power and his presence right there in the midst. And there's way more than that tonight. So God, I just ask you boldly, I come into your throne room. We come in together, all of us that are standing, to find help in time of need. Each person right now knows what they want, number one, not two, not three, but number one. And Father, you know what each person wants and needs. And I just loose that the two come together and that those prayers are answered. And everyone said, amen. And God bless you. You may be seated. We'll continue with a word from the Word. Put on the whole armor of God. That is a very biblical idea that we're in a battle, and that our enemy is Satan, and that we're soldiers for the Lord, and we must fight. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What is the wiles of the devil? All that stuff he tries to do to us every day, trying to trip us up in so many different ways and make us feel inferior, where if we could shut the world out while you're cruising down the road, put on Spirit 106, put on Air 1, put on the message on Sirius Radio, and just keep your eyes open, but just let the Lord take you away. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing to yourself. Sing those praises to God. Give God the praise and the glory that he is worthy of, that you may be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. Then in verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, it trips us up. It trips me up. I have to shake myself and say, wait a minute. This really isn't that person. This is the spirit behind that person. This person that wants to be an enemy. And when you begin to address things in that way, you know, there's a breaking forth starting in our church. I can see it in our praise and worship, where people are able to shout unto the Lord and travail in the Holy Spirit. That is a good thing. I encourage you, when you hear somebody doing that, is go stand next to them. It'll rub off on you. Amen? And you'll have a breakthrough. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. And he has a certain amount of tainted, counterfeit authority that he uses on this earth at this time. But he can't destroy you unless you let him. And we're not going to let him. And then down to verse 17 is where I'm going. And take the helmet of salvation. And then it says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And my thought this evening is the importance of swinging your sword. Do battle. You battle with the Word of God. You swing your sword. You have a situation, a challenge, and you find the appropriate Bible verses, and you begin to speak them in the name of Jesus and empower believing to the defeat of Satan and to the resistance of the devil. Now, the Word says, you finish this for me. Resist the devil and amen. See, how do you resist him? You swing your sword. Well, the sword is the Word of God. That is so clear. Isaiah said that Jesus' enemies, the enemies of the church, he would destroy them with the sword that came out of his mouth. That word, you speak the word. The word is the truth. The word is the solution. The word is the answer. All right? And in Thessalonians, the word says that when Jesus returns, he will destroy the Antichrist with the sword that's in his mouth. He will speak, and with the brightness of his coming, the Antichrist will just fall over dead. Now, in the book of Revelation, a couple of times, the word speaks of the sword coming out of Jesus' mouth. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, I'm going to go there next and follow me, where it says this, for the word of God is quick and powerful. That means it's alive, it's living, and it's all powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That the two-edged sword is mentioned in the Bible a lot. It was the most powerful weapon. It didn't have one side. It had two sides. And if you plunged it into somebody, they were in serious trouble. Those swords, that's the one that will come out your back when you put it in the front. It's a two-edged sword. And it's very sharp. It says that it pierces even to the dividing asunder or separating the soul and the spirit. Sometime we need to know, where is this evil coming from? Is it in my soul realm? Is it in my spirit realm? What is this? But the Word of God will divide it. The Word of God will locate it for you. If you have a smartphone, you're smart. You can learn, go as deep as you want to learn about the Hebrew language, Old Testament, the Chaldee language, Old Testament, and the Greek language and Armenian language, the New Testament. You can go as far as you want. It is so easy to take time for yourself, to build yourself up, to make yourself a better warrior, to make yourself a better friend, to make yourself a better wife, to make yourself a better mother, to make yourself a better husband, to make yourself a better father, so on and so forth, to make yourself a better enemy. Now, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, or the separating of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow. And the Word of God is a discerner, now this is very important, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Now, God knows our hearts better than we do, but you can't be dumb. You got to know something about your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it come the issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you are wondering about somebody, when you get around them, let them do most of the talking. You'll learn a lot. While they're talking, in your spirit, be praying in tongues. And let the Lord show you what's happening. And if this is a person that's going to hurt you and your family, or if this is a person that's going to help you and your family, this is how you grow. This is how you grow. You want to know as many Bible verses, and when you're in any kind of a challenge at any time, you find the right Bible verses, get some tape and write them down and tape them on your refrigerator, tape them in your bathroom, tape them wherever you're going to be in your home, and when you see them, speak them out. Quote them, and they will help you. And that you're doing battle then, and you're swinging your sword then, and you will win. You will win if you just fight. Amen? You know, I've got one more place that speaks of this very well in the book of Mark, chapter 11. I want to share one more place with you that you might understand how things work in the spirit world, in the prayer world. I think I'm going to go up just a verse or two from where I mentioned. I'm going to start at verse 21, and I'm going to say that Jesus was going into the city. He saw a tree, expecting that it had figs on it. It did not. So he cursed it. He cursed it with the power of God. He said, from now on, you'll never produce fruit again. You know, that's what you need to do to cancer. You need to speak to that cancer. That's what you need to do with bad relationships. You need to speak to them. That's what you need to do to confusion. You need to speak to it. And that's what Jesus did. And in the verse that I just mentioned, verse 21, Peter calling to remembrance said unto Jesus, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed yesterday, it's withered away. That's an impossibility. I've cut trees down, and they've gone on to put leaf on and different things and growth still. But the power that I'm talking about, the power of right words, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful enough to get you the answer that you need. It's powerful enough to come against addiction. You don't have to be bound. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to feel like you don't know good. You don't have to feel like your life doesn't count. It does count. God gave it to you. It's a gift. He made you in his image. The most dangerous thing that we face is that we're made in the image of God. We're choice-making beings, and we're free to make bad choices. And according to what the Bible says, Jesus said, few there be that find it, the road that goes to eternal life. Most people choose the wrong. But see, we don't have to do that. We can choose what's right if we understand how things work. So the fig tree that you cursed is withered away. And Jesus, answering, said to them, they were all together there, he said, have faith in God. The literal translation says, have the same God that the faith, the same faith that God has. Use the same faith that God uses. Because to every person created, there's been given a measure of faith. And you can take that measure, and if you'll use it, it will grow. Amen? So Jesus, answering, said unto them, have the faith of God. See, he put the same kind of faith that, how did he build the worlds? How did he create the worlds? He spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be nighttime, and there was nighttime. The different animals, in the sixth day, he spoke of man and created man. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion, not Satan, not Lucifer, but let mankind have dominion. And you know, it's a truth that's not understood or believed, but we have the dominion here. We've been left in charge here, just like Adam and Eve were left in charge of the Garden of Eden. We've been left in charge of this world. We've been left in charge of the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been left in charge of the name of Jesus. We've been left in charge of the Word of God, which is the sword of the double-edged sword of the Spirit. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, does anybody, this Bible says, verily I say unto you, any preacher, no, it says anybody, any believer. Long before I was called into the ministry, I believed this verse, and I began to swing my sword. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, unto this addiction, unto this bad situation, unto this illness, whosoever shall say, speak to that affliction that's bothering you, hurting you, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, what we have to ask ourselves, do we believe God? Is God real? God's not dead. Amen? Amen? Now, he said this. If you have a red letter Bible, these words are in red. Verse 24, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. It's not as much, well, I didn't do anything too bad today, so I think he could answer a prayer for me. No, it's every day that you wake up and you just say, you're my Father in heaven, and not my will, but your will be done, and I know you're going to take care of me today. I know that you're going to provide for me today. I know you're going to keep me safe from harm today. I believe it and I declare it. Amen? I'm going to do this one more time. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I'm not going to get my guitar out and play pretty music or anything. Is there anybody else here? I just feel, I told Pastor Kelly, I felt like we should pray to see if anybody else wants deliverance. If you want deliverance, if you'll stand up, I'll anoint you with oil.